All right, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you back. And today we're going to go back into our study of study number 19A, which is suffering and trials. Suffering and trials. I pray that you've been thinking about this matter and thinking about, like we talked about last time, perhaps you got some suffering going on in your life and maybe even some trials that are going on that you don't quite understand and you can't find a reason for. A lot of times, as a Christian, we're told not to look for a reason. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But I confess, I know that verse, and I love that verse, and I believe that verse, but just laying it down there, and that'd be the easiest. The Lord give us the easiest thing to do with these things. Just lay it down. Let whatever's happening, and don't take it on your shoulder as heavy as you've been doing. Just in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's what the Bible says. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out, and don't try to understand it on your own. Let the Lord give you the explanation or give you the reasoning behind it. And if he doesn't, then it's his choice for you not to know. Okay? And that's not always, the Lord's answers are always the best answers for us. But we are so minute in our thinking and different thinking than the Lord. The Lord's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. And a lot of times we just can't think like we want to think and understand like we want to understand. But if we're sincere with the Lord and we mean business and he knows it, then he's doing the things to help us to think about things that are best for us to think about. When it comes to the suffering and trials business, we talked about suffering and trials last recording, and we began a new category there concerning it. We talked about the sufferings of Christ, and then we moved into the new category for the suffering for Christ, and we went over four or five reasons reasons that suffering for Christ and what's involved with it and what it's about. First thing we found was that it was necessary and it's appointed for the Christian in their life. Now we looked at the scriptures, and the scriptures said it's necessary in a lot of times, and perhaps that's one of the reasons that for the suffering and the trials that's going on in your life is that it's necessary, and you don't know the reason why it's necessary right now. Perhaps it's for somebody in your family. Perhaps it's for a friend, or perhaps it's for an example to somebody. You just don't know. But the fact is, it's necessary. And a lot of times our suffering and trials are necessary for ourselves, and we know that. We know that because it says that the Lord suffered, leaving us a pattern that we should follow it, and to suffer like along with him. So, suffering for Christ is necessary, and it's appointed in the Christian's life. And we also looked at another one. Christians are not to be ashamed of suffering for Christ. Remember, we said that there's such things as being ashamed of the Lord and then suffering shame for the Lord. Two completely different things there. Two completely different things. When you suffer in shame for the Lord, you're taking on some suffering and some persecution and taking that stuff on whenever you don't deserve it. And that's suffering shame for the Lord. But and the Lord said that's admirable, and it says it's pleasing to him that you suffer the things of God and the Word of God rather than suffering for things that you deserve. For doing wrong, that is. Christians are not to be ashamed of suffering for Christ. The Bible also tells us that suffering for Christ is a blessed privilege. It's a blessed privilege. And it is, considering who we're talking about and what we're talking about. We're talking about the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and what He did for us, the biggest event in all creation. And it was all done for us, so that we'd have an avenue back to the Father. And you stop and think about that. It is a blessed privilege to suffer for Christ. Now you think about maybe one of your children or somebody, just a human being that you know, that done something very special for you. I don't know, maybe saved your life or something like that, and absolutely saved you from dying one day. But yet they took the brunt of it, and they're at home suffering and living their life completely different, maybe in a wheelchair. Just an example here. They're suffering because of what they've done for you. You wouldn't dare let anybody, you wouldn't dare walk around and be ashamed of somebody like that, would you? You'd think it was a privilege to be able to push them around and do things for them, wouldn't you? Sure you would. Well, you know, I mean, you think about who we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, the one that's done everything for us according to the Scriptures, died for us, resurrected for us, ascended back to the Father, is our high priest, and just doing being our advocate before the Father, you know, for us right now, and coming to get us, and is making us a place. Now, you want to talk about something. Everybody on this planet is looking for their place. Everybody has got a place, but not here. Not here. Everybody's running around selling and buying and doing this and doing that, trying to find their place, but it's not here. Our place is with the Lord. The Lord said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Our place is not here. I can't wait to get to my place. I mean, everybody needs a place. Needs a place. And the Lord knew it, and he said it exactly like we needed it to be said. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful Savior. Suffering for Christ is a blessed privilege, and it's only temporary here. Suffering for Christ is never in vain. It's never in vain. It doesn't go unnoticed, number one. The Lord knows that we have suffered for Him and what we're going through for Him and what we will go through. And, you say, well, I must not be doing it right, Brother Thurman, because I don't like it. Well, the Lord didn't say we had to. He didn't say we had to like it. He said that to rejoice in it, and to, you know, the Lord knows that suffering, that you don't enjoy suffering, but he tells us to rejoice in it, and to that, because it doesn't go in vain. It's not going to be for naught. It's not going to be for nothing. And the suffering for Christ is suffering after Christ's example. Remember, we went over that. That was the last thing that we went over before we quit last lesson. Suffering for Christ is suffering after Christ's example, not after the world's example. The world suffers for lots of things, but not like Christians suffer. Christians suffer for completely different things than the world suffers for. So let's pick up right there where we left off and begin again. There are some more things here. There are some more things. The first one here that we want to look at is considering suffering for Christ. Suffering for Christ is of short duration. and will end at the right time. Did you hear that? Now, I don't know what you're suffering, and I don't know what trials you're going through, but you say, brother, it has just been long enough. The Lord knows the time when it's going to be long enough, and you hit the nail on the head, because suffering for Christ is of short duration, and it will end at the right time. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, now listen to this and write it down, get this verse and memorize it so you can quote this thing to yourself when the devil's trying to drive you nuts and tell you that all this stuff is brought upon by you and your fault and blabbity, blabbity, blah, 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 and it's going to last forever. You might as well get used to it. You might as well change your life. You might as well do this, do that, quit serving God, all this kind of stuff. Brother Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, there are four reasons right there that the Lord said, and the first thing I want to bring up is that it's for short duration. There is an after you have suffered a while. Suffered a while. You see, the Lord didn't have to put a time mark on that. He said, after that ye have suffered a while. That shows us a couple things. It shows us that it's in the Lord's will. It's a plan. It's something that's going on that the Lord's in control of. After that, ye have suffered a while. And there is an after. There is an after. And there is a reason that's going to come about after. What's the reasons? Make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Those are four of the most perfect things right there that the Christian needs every bit of. He needs to be perfect in his walk with the Lord, and a lot of times it takes suffering to get there. But at least our suffering is narrated by God the Holy Ghost, and he watches over us, and he teaches us and comforts us and guides us through this thing, all right? And then to be established, perfect, that make you perfect. Established. In other words, you've got your mind made up. You take away all them doubts you've been suffering and you've been fighting for years and years and years and years and years. And you can't be talked out of it anymore. And strengthened. Make you strong in the Lord. And settle you. Just put you at rest and put you and grow you up to where you are an elder in the Lord and you can help somebody else, and it's going to be pretty hard for the enemy to trip you up before the Lord comes. You see, there's reasons for this suffering. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's beautiful, isn't it? There's reasons. Don't let the enemy lie to you. There's reasons for this suffering. Now, we're talking about for the Christian. We're not talking about anything having to do with the world right now. Talking about for the Christian. Suffering for Christ is of short duration and will end at the right time. It'll end at the right time. It'll end at the right time. Say it with me. It'll end at the right time. There you go. All right, what else? Suffering for Christ affects a Christian's inheritance. You see, though we suffer a while, the Bible says, we suffer here for a while, our suffering's not going to go with us. When we leave here, the suffering ain't going to go with us. We're going to be with the Lord, and things are going to be completely different. The only suffering that a Christian is going to do is right back, right down here, being conformed into the image of Christ and molding you into the image of Christ and establishing you and settling you and strengthening you and making you perfect like your Lord. like your Lord. Suffering for Christ affects a Christian's inheritance, so when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be judged for what we did in the body after that we were born again. After God the Holy Ghost moved into our body and we began to start living life for the Lord Jesus Christ and learning to put off the things of the flesh and put on the things of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and learning these things, we're going to be judged from that point on concerning what we did and for the Lord and for the Lord's name and for the Word of God and for all of the kingdom of God's business while we were in the body, and going to be judged for that. And our works are going to be tried by fire, the Bible says. Not works for salvation. Salvation ain't got anything to do with what we're talking about right now. Salvation was over and done a long time ago when you accepted Christ. That's over and done. That's settled. You don't have to ever go back to that and reaccount for that or redo that or anything like that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is a family-oriented judgment. It's not a judgment for judicial reasons. But there will be some upset there because people are going to be ashamed. If the Lord shows everything, I'm going to be ashamed. I hope He doesn't. I hope the things that we've confessed and that we've gotten right with Him, that they're put away and they're not going to come before the judgment seat, I hope. But it says some things are going to burn up, and it's probably going to be all them old embarrassing works that we did while we were in the body and being a Christian and doing the things that we ought not be doing. But anyway, not anyway as in it doesn't matter, but moving right along. Suffering for Christ affects a Christian's inheritance. It does have to do with what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ for having to do with you. Having to do with you. Romans chapter 8. Let me read that to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's like saying an affectionate daddy. Like daddy. That's like, Abba is like an affectionate name that you call God as your father. Like daddy. Receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That has nothing to do with you being born again, suffering to get your new birth. And that's not what it's saying. And if children, you see, you're already children. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you're a child of God. And then it says, and if children, you're already a child of God in the family, then heirs. And you get an inheritance, okay? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then it says, if so be that we suffer with Him. You see, it's an earned thing. It's an earned thing. Suffering for the Lord is going to get the Christian an inheritance. It does affect a Christian's inheritance. The Bible tells us that right there. If so be, we suffer with Him, and that we may also be glorified together. Now, I understand that there's a lot of Christians that are living comfortably in this world, and the only way that you can live comfortable in this world as a Christian and being born again is that you choose not to suffer. You choose not to suffer. I've told a lot of people a lot of times, you want to quit suffering? And I'm not encouraging this to you at all. I'm just telling you this because it's true, not because it's something you need to do. But if you want to stop all the suffering right away, probably, I'd say 95% of the suffering in your life, if you want to stop it all, just quit serving God. And don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that. But the devil will leave you alone if you'll quit serving God. He will. And you already know that because you're being tempted by him, and you already know the things that are going on in your life is not because of you doing something wrong. It's because of you doing something right. And that's the reason you're suffering. At least one of them anyway. But the Bible says, if so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, and also in verse 14, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Talking about an inheritance. Talking about an inheritance there for the Christian. Suffering and having an inheritance. Down here, what you do in the body and how you behave and how you take these things patiently and forbear them and trust the Lord through them as a child and suffer for the Lord, whatever it might be, it's not going to be in vain. It's going to matter at the judgment seat. There's not going to be a time that you're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat when the Lord says, "You suffered for me." And you're not going to want the Lord to brag on that because you did it for him, but he's going to anyway. It said he's going to present you before the Father with great joy. With great joy. I know it says even something I can't remember, but it seemed like it was bigger than great joy. But he's going to present you to the Father and brag on you because you suffered for his sake. And the Lord's going to reward you for that. You're not going to be ashamed of that, not one bit. You're going to be glad that you did. You're going to be glad that you've done things for the right reason and done them by faith, believing in somebody that you've never seen before. But by faith, you know he's real in your heart and that he is real in your life and that he is real and that he did what he said and that his book is real and his words are real. Amen? Suffering for Christ affects a Christian's inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. I guess that means that the Lord's putting it up as he sees you suffer. He says, go over and put this on your name. Go over and put this in her house, in his mansion, and make a little note on it that I love you and thank you for what you did that day for me. The Lord. Yeah. Isn't that neat? It's going to be wonderful to be with the Lord. And the Bible says that we're going to get crowns. You say, brothers, the inheritance is not important to me. And you know what? I understand what you're saying. But it'll be when the Lord presents it to you and calls you faithful. It will be then, even though we would be ashamed to keep it. That's why it says we cast our crowns at his feet. Because we appreciate the Lord rewarding us, but Lord, you way worth more than me keeping a reward from you. You the one that deserves the reward and cast your crown at his feet. See, something like that. But I'm sure it's going to be something like that. But it's all wonderful, wonderful, family-oriented. I love you from the heart, Lord, and I'm so thankful to be with you. And we're going to realize and see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears the things that we have believed our entire life after we've been born again and finally get to be there. Finally get to be there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 talks about it always. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't give up. Don't go over to the devil's side and just to get rid of a little bit of suffering that's temporary right now. Hang on to it and suffer through it. Grit your teeth and suffer through it. Get around some Christians and listen to the Word of God and listen to God's Word and be encouraged by God's Word. God's Word never lets you walk away the same way that you came. I mean, you come and listen to God's Word, you listen to testimonies, you listen to brothers and sisters that we all go through the same thing and that we're all there to be strengthened, established, and settled in the faith, and that the Lord's doing it for the right reason. There's inheritance for it. I mean, what's the devil got to offer you more than that just to give up a little bit of suffering? Surely nothing in this world. Remember when you was in the world? And what a stinking yoke that world put on you. The world just keeps stacking a yoke and stacking it and stacking it and stacking it on your shoulders. Get you in debt, get you in trouble, takes everything you got from you and doesn't console you any. The Lord does all that. The Lord's yoke is easy and His burden is light. And it really, really, really is, because everything that we live for with the Lord is completely for a completely different scenario than the world's scenario. The world's is vanity. It's vain. It's worth nothing. You lose everything when you die, and you go straight to hell. Being in the Lord's family and being born again, you lose nothing. You gain everything, and you put up treasure, and it'll be there when you get there, and you never have to worry about dying and going to hell. Which one do you think's right? That's not a very hard pick, is it? Not a very hard pick. But moving right along, suffering for Christ affects a Christian's inheritance. All right, well, that's not all. Suffering for Christ comes from doing the right thing and shames the false accuser. You know, God cares when people try to shame you for doing right. You ever been shamed for doing right? You get taught your whole life to tell the truth. And then when you grow up and you start telling the truth, they say, well, you ain't got to bring that up. And all kinds of stuff like that, you know. Suffering for Christ comes from doing the right thing and shames the false accusers. There will be people that will falsely accuse you. The Scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 through 17. Let me read that to you. And who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That don't get no plainer than that, does it? And you can see the Lord's attitude in all that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The Lord knows you're doing right. Your conscience is right before you and the Lord. And if the evildoers want to shame you, they're going to be the ones that's going to end up being ashamed. The Bible says they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That's the way it's going to end up. That's the way it's going to end up. So if somebody's persecuting you and giving you a hard time at work or giving you a hard time and you know what? It could be family. That's why the Lord brought all that up. You know, one thing that He didn't mention when He said, if a man love not, if a man love his father more than me, he cannot be my disciple. If he love his mother, he love his brother, he loves his sister, he loves his wife more than me, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the Lord wasn't saying that you couldn't love him. He said that you love him more than him. And notice he only mentioned family. He didn't say your enemy. He didn't say your aunts and uncles and all that kind of stuff. He mentioned your closest family, your closest part of your family. And there's some truth to that. But nevertheless, you do what the Lord says. The Bible says this in John chapter 21, verse 22. As this is when Peter, you know how Peter and John was to the Lord. The Lord loved both of them. And when they were sitting around, I guess they were sitting around a fire or something like that. Anyway, Jesus got up and he just got through running Peter through the ropes about whether he loved him or not. Remember? He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Okay, and then he got up, he started walking away, and he looked at Peter and said, follow me. And he started walking away. And Peter got up and started following him. But then Peter said, Lord, and the Lord turned around and looked at him. He said, what about that man? And he pointed at John, because he knew that the Lord loved John. And you know, instead of the Lord saying, oh, thank you, Peter, thank you, you know, I almost forgot. John, come on with us. Instead of doing that, you know what the Lord told him? He said, Peter, he said, if I will that he tarry, hang out right there where he is until I come back, until I come again, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Don't you let anybody turn you away from following the Lord. If somebody else changes, don't you change. You follow the Lord no matter what. No matter what kind of suffering you're doing, no matter what kind of trials you're going through, don't let anybody talk you out of following the Lord. And anybody that will try to talk you out of following the Lord is not your friend. Do you get that? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That includes children, mamas, daddies, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends, co-workers, companions, whatever. Follow the Lord. And the Lord is never going to lead you away from what's right. He's not ever going to lead you away from what's right. Suffering for Christ comes from doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Matter of fact, if you do the wrong thing, you probably get some praise from some people out there until they got ready to mock you for being a hypocritical Christian that you wasn't willing to suffer for your Lord. Even the unsaved knows that Christians that are indeed devoted and their allegiance is to their Lord, that they're going to suffer for it because they're the ones that make you suffer a lot of times. And they test you and to see if you're willing to suffer for him. That's one reason they give you so much trouble and grief. But if they see where you're willing to give and you're willing to sacrifice your Lord's name and that you're such a coward that you would do something like that, console you and eat steak and drink beer with you and all this, that, and the other, but after it's all over with, they got absolutely no respect for you whatsoever because you're a deserter. Isn't that the way it works? Yeah, that's the way it works. The Lord said suffer for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. Suffer for doing right. Yeah. He said that suffering for Christ comes from doing right. And shames the false accusers. When you're doing right and people are accusing you, they're falsely accusing you. You remember that. They're falsely accusing you. And sometimes, I'm telling you, the trials and suffering, and the Lord knows I'm teaching this and I'm speaking this with all due respect to Him, but sometimes trials and suffering go so long that it seems like you're doing the right thing and you know it shames the false accusers, but it takes so long for it to happen, the devil even gets you doubting yourself whether you're doing right. You start examining yourself of whether you're doing right or not. and you can't, and it's like it goes into a big fog or something like that. It's hard to explain, but it does. And that's just how the mental games that the enemy plays. But if you stay in the book and you stay, keep reading, God's word is what keeps things clear. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's God's word that keeps things focused for us and keeps things the same so that you're not being led astray. It's God's word. And as long as you stay in God's word, you'll be safe. You can't be, as long as you stay in God's word and you're suffering and going through trials and things like that, and you stay in God's word, you'll stay focused whether you know the answers to your suffering or your trials at all. Yet. But it'll keep you focused and it'll keep you from being led astray. Yeah. Suffering for Christ comes from doing the right thing. From doing the right thing, and it shames the false accusers, which they should be, is to be ashamed. Gonna be a lot of shame. That thing does that every time we're doing it. I'm sorry about that. I'll forget it again, so it'll probably happen again. But there's going to be a lot of suffering at the white, a lot of shame going on at the white throne judgment, but completely different reasons. God haters and Christ rejectors, and you say, God haters, really? Yeah. There's not, I don't have a doubt in my mind that at the white throne judgment, there's people that hate God so bad they're going to growl at him and roll, probably threaten him and not even realize who they're talking to. They're so reprobate. They're just out of their stinking skulls. But I believe everybody's going to shake because of him. But there's going to be those that are going to hell. And I don't know. It's just the God haters. There's some down here that don't mind what they say before the Lord, and you have to rebuke them and remind them who God is. And a lot of them just keep on with it, and they even say worse things. And you tell them, "Do you understand that God is listening to you right now?" What God? I don't care about blabbity blab, and I mean cuss him and say some of the awfulest things that you've ever heard. Yeah. But not me, and not you. How could we ever talk about our Lord like that? There are people that love God, and there are people that hate God. You better believe it. All these people talking about haters and things like that. We know who the haters are, don't we? Yes, we do. And start calling them God haters, and watch what they do. Watch what they do. They won't even admit that they hate God. I said, quit beating around the bush, man. Just let it out. Tell God you hate him. Say it out loud. And some of them won't. Some of them won't because they're fakes. They know that God is real and they're scared of God, but they're just putting up a big false thing, which is good. Which is good if they won't say it. But there's some of them out there to say it. God haters. That's not all. Suffering for Christ causes the Christian to grow. And it's a sign of privileged worthiness. Suffering for Christ causes the Christian to grow and is a sign of privileged worthiness. Do you know, for somebody to suffer for Christ and getting it in the right category is only somebody that's worthy to suffer for Christ. Everybody don't get to suffer for Christ. Now, there's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? Everybody doesn't get to suffer for Christ. The lost don't get to suffer for Christ. They suffer for all the wrong reasons. I had a guy at a ministry one time that was a heroin addict, and he got saved when he came to the ministry, and I've seen a real big change in him. But the problem with heroin and all that drugs, it does it makes a relationship with the flesh and your mind so deep and personal that when you're involved in it, that being away from it and establishing a relationship with the Lord, that you have to still intentionally stay away from that mess because of the draw of it, because of its relationship with your flesh. Your flesh just lusts after that mess, and it's got power over your flesh, so you have to stay away from it. And when they leave out of the ministry, they got nowhere to go. They're right with the Lord, they're walking with the Lord, but they got nowhere to go serve the Lord. So they get back out in the world, and the world starts drawing them back in, see. Well, this one fella, he was doing that, and kept telling him to leave it alone, leave it, just work. He done good for a while and everything else, but then this fella, it was a privilege for him to, talking about privileged worthiness and growing. He grew, and he got strong in the Lord, but he got around the old folks, got around all the old crowd and everything else, and it started sucking him back in. And he fell again, started messing with that heroin again. And it finally, his mama found him. He was living with his mama, and I was here, and he had went to prison. The Lord sent him to prison a couple years because he wouldn't listen. And when he got out, started messing with that heroin again, and he was in his mama's house and went in the bathroom, and she said it was taking a little while for him to get out of there, so she went to check on him. She knocked on the door, and she had to push the door because there was something against it, and he pushed it, and there he was laying on the floor dead, overdosed in his mama's house, in her bathroom. And that's what his poor mama had been fighting for years and years and years and years, trying to keep him alive and try to keep him as close to the Lord as she could, and died right there in his mama's bathroom. You know, there is a privileged worthiness of suffering for Christ. But when he was in prison, I used to write him back and forth, and I wrote him, and I told him one time, I said, there's only one difference between you and I, brother. I said, right now, there's only one difference between you and I. I'm suffering for the right reasons, and you're suffering for the wrong reasons. Because he used to tell me, well, God called me to prison. I said, no, you're in prison for being punished for doing wrong and misbehaving. Because you know that the Lord didn't want you messing with that heroin and being around that crowd. I said the Lord wanted you around God's people and in His book and doing the right thing. I said, you're in prison for being punished. And he was suffering for the wrong reasons. I said, that's the only difference in me and you, brother, is you're suffering for the wrong reasons. And you know what? Suffering for Christ causes Christians to grow. And he did grow, and you're growing. And whether you feel like you're growing or you realize that you're growing or anything like that, that'll come. But you are growing. It's not nothing in vain about you being in God's Word. God's Word doesn't return to Him void, and nor does it return to you that way. When you're in God's Word, it's teaching you, and the Holy Ghost is teaching you. And you'll realize it, and is a sign of privileged worthiness. When you're doing right, and you're suffering for the right reasons, it is privileged worthiness. And Christians going to prison is not privileged worthiness unless they're going to prison for spiritual reasons and to be persecuted for Christ and the Word of God. But if you're going to prison for using heroin and breaking the law, that's not privileged worthiness. Worthy means worthy. You're going to do right, even if you have to suffer for it. You're going to serve Christ, even if you have to suffer for it. You're going to stay with the book, and you're going to honor God's Word, and you're not going to change it, not going to manipulate it, not going to make it say what you think it is, blabbity, blabbity, blab, and all that kind of gobbledygook. You're going to stick with it, and even if you got to suffer for it. Yeah, that's worthy. That's privileged worthiness. There's going to be that kind of crowd that's going to stand before the Lord. And then there's going to be the crowd that's going to stand at the judgment seat that have been messing with God's words and changing them around and to make their life a little bit more comfortable and for a bank account and for a house, blah, all this kind of stuff. And but there's going to be that crowd. I'm not going to be in that one. Are you? You shouldn't. You ought to suffer. If it costs you, it costs you, period. But it's not going to cost you but just so much and so much time because it's going to end. And in the meantime, you're going to be putting things up in heaven and getting ready to go be with the Lord. Two completely different things. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, let me read that to you. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Do you know it's such a privilege that when the Lord sees you suffering for Christ's sake and for the sake of the Word of God, that the Bible says it's a righteous thing. God considers it a right thing and a righteous act by Himself, seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation, recompense to pay back. To pay back tribulation to them that trouble you. God says it's such a privileged worthiness that it impresses the Lord when you suffer for Him for righteousness' sake and for His name, and you do it and you know you're going to suffer for it and you put up with it and bear through it. The Lord says that makes Him want to pay everybody back because of the righteousness that's in it, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. They're going to get it. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. And then the devil walking around telling you, well, you're going to put up with that? You ought to get him back. You ought to get her back. And we know that's not right. But the devil's always banging our ear with that mess, isn't he? He sure is, especially when you suffer for things that are not your fault, things that are not your fault. That's not all. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." You see how you're thinking supposed to be? You're supposed to arm your mind with the same kind of mind that Christ had. "For as much as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." You want people to see what a righteous life you're living? They'll see it through your suffering, because the only way that you can, if you're suffering in the flesh, you know what the results of that is. You know what that means. You know what the definition of suffering in the flesh is that you ceased from sin. You're not sinning. Isn't that interesting? Only God can do that. Only the Lord can do that. So you see, one reason that suffering is so important is because it goes absolutely contrary to the world. The world suffers for sinning. And when the world suffers, it's because they're sinning. When a Christian suffers, it's because they've stopped sinning. Isn't that neat? That's neat, isn't it? And that's not all. Here's a few more. Suffering for Christ should remind us to think of those things that have and are suffering. Suffering for Christ should remind us to think of those that have and are suffering worse than we are. And we try to do that, don't we? Whenever we start suffering and everything, we don't want to start feeling sorry for ourselves and everything else. We try to find and look for the people that are suffering worse than we have. I remember a pastor said something one time. He said, I used to complain about my legs and how they didn't work right and how I wasn't able to quite run as fast as I wanted to or how, you know, this and that and the other. He said, until I met a guy that didn't have no legs. I mean, there's a lot to somebody else's suffering that teaches us. You might be suffering from the things that you look at, suffering from trying to keep from your eyes. The Bible says, mine eyes affecteth my heart. The things that we look at, the images and the things that we allow go into our mind, you might be suffering trying to keep that stuff out of your mind and keep your eyes off of stuff like that. And that is suffering. And you might think it's the worst thing in the world until you might run into somebody that's blind. You see, suffering for Christ should remind us to think of those that have and are suffering worse than we are. Worse than we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, listen to this. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care for all the churches." This is Paul. He'd been through quite a bit, hadn't he? Talk about suffering. Remember when we talked about the last couple of lessons? I don't remember which one it was, but we talked about Paul's calling. And Paul's calling had to do with the Lord telling that one guy to go over there and lay his hands on him and pray for him. And then things fell out of his eyes. Those scales fell out of his eyes and he could see again. But he prayed for him. And he told him that the Lord said he's going to show you what great things you must suffer for his sake. Yeah. And this is, Paul said he's been through every bit of this stuff we just read. I couldn't write all that down, could you? You know, there are people that suffer a lot, are suffering a lot worse than we. That don't make yours not count. But it does make a difference in our thinking. He said, arm ourselves with the same mind. Remember? For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And then he goes on, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes, I didn't say that right, but with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I wanted to kill him for his testimony. And some Christians let him down, in a basket down the city wall and let him escape. I mean, Paul suffered. He really, really, really did. But that's why he wrote most of the books of the New Testament and was able to tell us about the gospel of the grace of God and able to explain it to us and tell us of the New Testament, the New Covenant, tell us about our Savior. He was instrumental in changing over from the law and to grace. And just all sorts of things, and made the Word of God come into season, into this dispensation perfectly. And the Lord used that, but it was all through suffering. He suffered while he was here. And he said, no wonder he said, I'd rather go be with the Lord than to stay here. Plus, he got to see heaven too. Of course, that was a privilege. It sure was, and that kept him. That's what he needed, a little boost, and the Lord put it on him, and boy, did it boost him. But just a couple more here, and we'll stop. Okay, what we're talking about is suffering for Christ, and by now you should already see that the Scriptures are sympathetic with your suffering, but they remind us that it's necessary, that it's going to happen, that it's for your growth, for your strength, for you to be established and strengthened in the faith, and it's for examples to others. It's for all sorts of reasons and all productive if you're suffering for the right reasons and suffering for righteousness and suffering along with Christ. Suffering along with Christ. So don't be surprised at suffering. Expect it. It's not going to last forever. It's supposed to happen. The Lord says it's going to happen, and it's to help you. Suffering for Christ is the wisdom of God upon us. Suffering for Christ is the wisdom of God upon us. Listen to what Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, everything that God has shown me, that people would start bragging on me and lift me up higher than I'm supposed to be, Paul says. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's the way it is. That's the way it works. You and I are probably the most effective for the Lord whenever we're in a weak state, as far as weak before the Lord, not weak before the world, but weak before the Lord. That's what Paul said, and he was one of the most powerful Christians there was. And lastly, suffering for Christ, no matter how bad, cannot be compared to what's ahead for the Christian, as being with Christ, heaven's glory, and eternal life. It can't be compared to it. Paul said that Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Another one in 1 Peter, and Peter says in 4:13, he says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." And the last verse we're going to look at today is John chapter 16, verse 33, that says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen? All right. Well, suffering and trials. And the last thing or truth that we have talked about as far as this suffering matter goes is suffering for Christ. Quite a bit in there, isn't it? Quite a bit. But all wonderful and all God's truth, all God's Word. We read God's Word that backed up everything that we talked about. And nowhere have we seen that the Lord gets pleasure out of us suffering, but He uses it. And it's part of the Christian life. But you can't compare it to the world. You can't compare Christian suffering to worldly suffering. They're two different, completely different things for completely different reasons. But the Lord says that we're not to suffer for the same things that the world suffers for. We suffer for righteousness' sake, for doing right, for doing right. All right? Well, let me give you these scriptures. You ready? And I'll give you these, and we'll move on into another part of this suffering and trial study and on our next program. And I'm sure that you'll enjoy that also. We're going to get into trials. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 14. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 33. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7 through 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And John chapter 16, verse 33. And there we go. All right. Well, until the next lesson, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Be sure to join us on the next one. And the Lord bless you for your patience and your willingness to learn His Word. The Lord bless you 100-fold for that, and I know He does. I read that even today, that He honors those that honor Him and His Word. We're going to look at trials on the next recording. Come join us, and let's learn God's Word together. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.